Hey, everybody, Sarah Grillo here. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. And today I'm excited. I've got John Morgan of Connected Consultants. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
What's up, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me today. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet. So John has a company, and this company helps financial advisors understand their clients better so that they can close more business. Bring it on. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk today about five things you probably aren't asking on your risk tolerance questionnaire that you should. Number one, what is it?
Well, I think it's really important to go beyond, you know, the typical questionnaires, which talk about financial goals, time horizon, you know, things like that, and then give them kind of basic choices on how would you feel about these types of scenarios with your portfolio going forward, because, you know, there's a lot of pressure on clients when they first come into your office. And so they don't want to seem like somebody that doesn't have enough. There's just a lot of pressure. So I believe that you have to open up the dialogue much further than just those basic questions, which are asked in the normal risk tolerance questionnaires over the last, you know, decades. So I think, you know, the first thing you want to start out with is really just kind of understanding clients' behaviors in the past. So I think, you know, opening up things with, you know, what are the three best and worst investment decisions you've made over your lifetime, and then get them to start talking about those experiences. What were they? When were they? How did they react to those experiences? Did they sell? What made them decide to sell? There's just so many ways that that question can lead to the information that you really want to gather on how they will operate when things do get difficult, which is almost impossible to do when they're sitting in front of you for the first time.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I totally love this idea of talking about what the person's past experiences have been, because when you talk in generalities, it's really easy for the person to just kind of guess you or like not think too much about what the question really is asking. But then when you talk about a specific experience, it's like, that ain't lying. You know, for example, like, let's say someone said to me, now I'm not in the dating market anymore, right? I have four kids with Antonio. I own the dude. I'm pretty much on lockdown here, right? Like, no one's going anywhere. But let's say that I was, okay? And I was in the dating. Yes, I remember when you're in the dating market and you have these, I would go on dates with people. It'd be like, you know, like there were so many times when people would be like, I'm a lawyer, right? Are you okay with that kind of a thing? And I'd be like, yeah, but then I never really thought about, have I dated lawyers before? Because I did have like kind of a weird experience once with someone I dated that was a lawyer, right? So it's like when you speak in generalities, it's so different from bringing it back to a specific time in life and an experience that the person has that they have an emotional connection to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the key, I think, because again, they're coming in semi-nervous about this meeting that they don't know you. They may have been referred to you, so they might have a little bit more comfort with that. But at the end of the day, it's a new relationship. It's the first experience. And everybody comes in with a certain agenda, including the advisor. And so that is a problem in itself, right? And so how do you dig deeper? And the risk tolerance questionnaires of today just don't do that.
No, and it's something that makes me really sad, actually.
Right, me too. And this is one of the reasons why I got into behavioral science, is because I felt that that was a missing component. I was an advisor for 17 years, and I can remember going through those risk tolerance questionnaires and basically having to lead the client through it. And I look back and I realize my own internal biases were having an effect on that process. And that's another part of the problem in itself.
Okay, so what do you get for number two?
So number two, I always like to ask, you know, to have them tell me about the biggest risk they've taken in their lives and how did that work out? How did they handle the outcome of it? And now that they've had time to digest it, you know, what did they learn from it?
Yeah. I mean, again, that's another kind of question that calls someone's experience to mind.
That's right.
Like, rather than, you got these people that are like, you know, oh yeah, like I can handle risk. And then it's like, well, what's the riskiest thing you've ever done? And it's like, oh, like they're not talking about like high stakes gambling or like bungee jumping, right? They'll say something like, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I got an extension on my tax return.
Right.
Right. Like if that's the riskiest thing they've ever done, or they can't think of a risky thing. Like if you ask someone, what's the riskiest thing you've ever done? And they can say something, they did something pretty risky, and they'll actually tell you, or you can kind of judge by their reaction too. Like if they say it right away, if they don't have to think about it, it comes to mind right away, rather than someone that kind of hems and haws and can't quite find the words or can't recall anything. That's right. Not a risk. That's a risk averse person.
Right. And you get them to relive it to some extent. And again, like you said, you can kind of judge how their facial expressions are during it. You know, they can really dig deeper into, you know, how they felt about the experience and their emotional ties to money. And that's really the key. Again, can't be done through just giving them a scenario and say, which scenario would you be comfortable with? Because you can't put them in that scenario, especially of a major market downturn. So one of the other questions I like to ask is, you know, were you invested in the market during 08, 09? Because that was a dramatic experience for many people and has shaped how they've invested going forward, if they're invested in the market at all. So much can be garnered by asking that question. You know, were you invested? How were you invested? You know, how did you feel as the progression of the market was going down and you heard nothing but bad news all day, every day on the news cycle? You know, how was your advisor connecting with you? What did you like and dislike about the communication style? You know, there's just so many things that can come from that type of conversation. You know, when did you get back in and why? You know, and then you can get into how much they might have missed out on market returns, you know, from the bottom and all the reinvestment of dividends and interest. So there's just so many ways those deeper questions can really uncover, you know, again, a client's emotional attachment and how they deal with money in adverse situations.
Okay, so what are we on, number three?
Yeah, I think that would be number three. And then typically I want to get a little bit, you know, right down to a nitty gritty. You know, tell me how you felt when you had a major loss in an investment you made, and get them to kind of talk through what's that worst investment. And then, you know, again, was it a matter of the amount of loss, or was it the percentage of the loss? And you just get, again, them kind of talking about that experience and what it did to them emotionally and how they handled it. Because again, that's going to be a better predictor of how they're going to react in the next downturn, which is inevitable. And so another part of my process was always to make sure I, on a regular basis, educated my clients on, you know, the normality of the ups and downs of the stock market and how you need to understand that, you know, really connect with it and know that it's not going to happen just in the past. It's going to happen multiple times in your future. And frankly, I used to tell them, you need to either get over that or get out, because there is no in between, right, when you're dealing in the stock market.
Yeah. So one thing I like about this is that you're questioning people about their past experiences, as opposed to some hypothetical scenario that they can't necessarily connect with because it hasn't happened yet. And we're always likely to think, oh, that won't happen again, or it won't happen to me, whenever we're presented with a hypothetical scenario.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Well, your taxes are to get audited, right? Like no one, you know, we all like to think it's going to happen to the person, to someone else, but not me.
Right.
When you speak to somebody's experiences, you tap into their ego. And that's the thing that I just in general am advocating for people to understand, and I'm saying it over and over again on my podcast, in my blogs, on my YouTube channel, everything, is that it has to be about them, not you. Them, absolutely, not you. And when you say a hypothetical scenario that is kind of contrived, or you ask them about like a market scenario or something like that, it really is more about you than them. Because you're speaking right in your own language. And when you speak with someone about their experiences, you're speaking in their language. And you're speaking for them. You're speaking to their ego. There's nothing better than speaking to somebody's ego. We're all that's egotistical right people. I'm even egotistical. I'm not egotistical about that many things, but I am egotistical about my content. Like people contact me all the time through LinkedIn, and they're like, oh, I'd love to like help you boost your podcast, or like, you know, and they haven't even edited. They're like, oh, I love your podcast. We'd love to like do this or whatever. And I'm like, have you even listened to one show of my podcast? They don't even know. They want to be guests on my podcast. And I'm like, do you even know? Have you even listened to one episode? Do you even know what this is about?
Right.
And they don't. And it gets me so mad. And I'm like, get out of here, you fact neglecter.
Right.
You've neglected facts. Like, you don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't even know what my show's about. And I'm like, how can you not even know what my show's about? It's the best show out there, bozo.
Yeah. It's easy to do. I know I've done that before in the past and had to learn through experience that is one of the major no-nos, is not to investigate who you're getting ready to have a conversation with or who you're getting ready to email, or if you're going to send out any kind of blast, whatever, you know, you better understand the audience, because you can turn them off immediately and permanently by not approaching that properly. So again, you know, researching and understanding who it is you're going to speak with is so important.
But yeah, but it has to be in the right way, right? You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So now, okay, actually someone's Skyping me as we speak. Okay, so now, the last question, what is it?
So the last one I like to get into is typically the relationship with advisors in the past. And, you know, going through those experiences of losses and dealing with downturns in the market, and, you know, what the relationship was like with the advisor, how the advisor communicated with them during those times, what they liked and disliked about it, because that's going to tell you a whole lot about how you better react and deal with that client when the time comes. And so, again, back to behavioral science, the firm that I work with, we have a technology called Market Mood, which after we've got all the behavioral insights into the system, it can show you basically how that client would react as the market is falling apart. And you can actually pinpoint those clients to find out which ones you better start contacting right away versus those that are going to be a little bit more comfortable with a downturn. And maybe it's an opportunity to add more to the portfolio. So it typically revolves around past relationships with advisors and what they liked and disliked about the experience, as far as the communication with that advisor during those difficult times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, good. And what do you find the results are of people asking questions like this?
It just changes everything. First of all, it develops engagement with the client, because as you were speaking about, clients love to talk about themselves, number one. And it just changes what they're normally used to from advisors. I mean, advisors, a lot of them, let's not say all of them, but a lot of them will come in and, you know, they'll get down to, you know, some of the basic questions, go through the risk tolerance questionnaire. And then it's like, let me see your statements, you know, let's run it through this system. And here's how you're allocated today. Here's how you should be allocated. Now hire me, right? And that is, you know, unfortunately, normal for a lot of advisors out there. And if you can just change the conversation and get it into more emotions, you know, reliving past experiences and engaging and communicating on a different level that suits that individual client's needs, again, it's going to really change how that client feels when they walk out of that office. They're going to realize that they actually had a real experience with someone that actually cares.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, you can always tell when you have a really good conversation with someone who really understands you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where behavioral science can really help, because you can understand, you know, risk tolerance under duress, communication styles, whether they're a delegator or decision maker, how much need for research, or they like just general, you know, ideas. There's just so much that you can know and now prepare for that meeting ahead of time, which is going to enable you to engage, know, and grow that relationship, you know, from day one, which is also going to have the client, you know, feel differently about you as a real person they can go to when things get tough.
Yeah. All right. So listen, we're going to wrap here, but John, thanks so much, everybody. John Morgan, of Connected Consultants, and you're going to find his information in the show notes. Everybody, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.